Bill Price.
I want to begin today in 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. Verses 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And then 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Verse 20. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. Manasseh began reigning at 12 years old. He reigned for 55 years and did evil in the sight of the Lord. His son began reigning at age 22. And he reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And notice verse 26. And he was buried in the sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Granddad began reigning at age 12 and reigned for a long time and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Dad began reigning at age 22, reigned only 2 years and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah began reigning at 8 years old and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We have lowered the standard on what young people can be. Psalm 144 says that our sons should be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters should be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. It is so easy in our day, as it was in biblical times, to compare ourselves among ourselves. And the Apostle Paul said to do so is not wise. Now that's a very important consideration, although that's not the main focus of our message. But keep that in mind, that here was a boy, 8 years old. Granddad was evil, dad was evil, but this young boy of 8 years old did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. To me, that just blows away the victim mentality. That the reason I can't live right, the reason I can't get things together is because of my upbringing. This just blows that out of the water. So it's so important that we realize that I'm accountable before God for my behavior. There may be long-term effects of how you were treated growing up, but ultimately it's between you and the Lord. And God will bless you if you will try as best you can in spite of the long-term effects that may be a result of how you were victimized by an adult when you were a child. In spite of that, if you'll just say, I'm going to put that behind me as best I can, and if the Lord blesses me with a family, I'm going to say, as for me and my house, amen, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what mom and dad do. It doesn't matter what your siblings do. Doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what the advice may be. If it's contrary to the word of God, if they isolate you, just say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But now notice what happened as Josiah served the Lord. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. Now, David was 13 generations prior to Josiah. So David had no direct influence on Josiah. But the Bible often references David because he was a type of Christ. And you'll see not only here in Josiah's life, but in many other places, David will be a reference point for godliness. So don't take this away with the idea that, well, that's what made the difference in Josiah's life. There was this man David who had direct influence upon him. That wasn't the case. But notice now in verse 3 through 7, and we'll not read this for the sake of time, but this gets into what we want to try to focus on. Josiah sent Shaphan the scribe to the house of the Lord to deliver money from the keepers of the door to the doers of the work. There was repair being done to the house of the Lord. And if you'll read verses 3 through 7 at your own time, you'll see, for example, in verse 6 that this money was given to carpenters and builders and masons and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Now that's a very noble thing that Josiah prioritize this desire to repair the house of the Lord. How refreshing it would be for an 8-year-old child to say, I am concerned about the house of the Lord. I am going to be diligently involved with repairing the house of the Lord. And you understand, in this New Testament day, we're not talking about the physical building, but we're talking about the welfare of the Lord's church. But then notice what happened. In verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest, the high priest over the house of the Lord, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king, that is Josiah, and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it in the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. The word of God had been lost in the house of God. Now, surely that couldn't happen today. There are so many Bibles available. See, the problem in that day was there weren't multiple copies of the law available. There were so few copies that it was actually physically lost. People had lost interest in it, and so it was not a situation where they could say, "Well, you know, I haven't read the law lately. I think I'm going to go get the law and read it." No, it had been physically lost in the house of God. Now today you can find a copy of the Word of God anywhere. I don't know how it is since we've had all the advancements in technology, but I remember walking in a Dollar Tree one time and they had a stack of paper Bibles as big as this pulpit, King James translation, Old and New Testament, for $1 apiece. Now the paper was newspaper quality, it was a paperback, but it was the inspired, pure Word of God in English, and you could just get it for $1. If I go to any of your homes here today, you will have multiple copies of the Word of God. Amen. Now, we haven't lost the physical book, but we can certainly lose our awareness of and the influence of its truth in our lives. And once that influence is lost, we're going to continue to drift away from the Lord until we find the book again. This contains the answers to all your problems of living. I'm not chastising you if you've neglected the Word of God. I'm not chastising you and saying that you haven't been living right. I'm saying that seeing wherever you may be right now in your life, whatever your experience might be right now, it's not my purpose to condemn you, but wherever you may be, here's the solution to any problem you have. Any marriage problem, any problem in your relationship with your children, any problem you have at work, any problem you have in the church, any problem of living with people anywhere, the answers are in the Word of God. I believe it was Peter who said, we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means the Bible has everything you need in the 21st century to know how to live life right to the glory of the Lord. Have you lost the book? I know I have from time to time. You may lose it long term, or you may lose it short term. To whatever degree we neglect the book, to that same proportion, we're very likely to depart from the book. You know, the Apostle Paul said regarding salvation, other foundation can no man lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I just want to pause here for a moment and say, if I didn't understand and I wasn't able to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and rejoice in the hope of eternal life, then the kind of preaching I'm bringing to you today would just overwhelm me with despair. The Lord knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. While the Apostle Paul had the same complex that I have. At one point in his ministry, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. That's not too bad, is it? A little later on, he wrote, as he got a little older, he said, I'm less than the least of all saints. Now, that's getting a little lower to say, well, all the church members are better than me. But then in his last letter to a young preacher, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I heard a sermon recently that taught me to quit saying that the reason that the Bible says that Paul was the chief of sinners is because I had not yet been born. I stand corrected on that because Paul was the chief of sinners. He persecuted the church of God. He was as one born out of due time. He wasn't declaring that as an experience, as an emotion, as a feeling. He was able to say dogmatically that if you look at every other person in the Christian community, there is no one that compares to me. He said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. It says, and think of this, it says in when Paul was traveling that Damascus road, as he was on his way to murder and arrest Christians, it said he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. I've never done that. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Lord's people. And then, when he wrote Romans chapter 3 to describe the unregenerate, one of the things he said was their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. In other words, I'm the ultimate example of an unregenerate prior to the Lord dealing with me. I'm not preaching to you today to say, well, I have my life together and now you need to get yours together. I'm preaching to you as a minister that believes in the preservation of God's people through grace. I do not believe in the perseverance of the elect. And by that, I mean I don't believe that God's children will all persevere in godly living. If that were the case, then there's many, many things in the Bible that just seem to contradict or do contradict that. We ought to strive to persevere. But aren't you glad that in Jude, that he's writing to those who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, and called? And Brother Marty Smith taught us all about that calling yesterday, that he called us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. You could not separate yourself from the love of God if you wanted to. I had this thought the other day, and we'll get back with this in just a moment, but I had this thought the other day. Has someone ever said to you, well, if I believe what you believed, I just wouldn't care how I lived? The people that say that, the only people I hear say that, are the people that don't believe what I believe. I've never heard anyone that does believe what I believe say that. Because the people that do believe what I believe understand what they deserve by nature, but what they are in spite of that. And that Jesus loved them and Jesus bare their sins in his body on the tree of the cross and obtained eternal redemption, and nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because he that begun a good work in you, listen to this, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You may not perform well at all. You may feel like you're not close to the Lord. You may feel like that all that you go through is his chastening for your disobedience. But there's a work he started in you that will not be put out. It will not be quenched. That work, he will maintain it. He will preserve it. He will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's why the book of Philippians says that he worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does not make you do his good pleasure. He worketh in you the motivation, both the will and to do. If you have the least conviction about your sin, and if you still have that still small voice letting you know that it's not pleasing to the Lord as to how you're living your life, then thank God that he's still performing that work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, the nation of Israel is described one time as being backslidden with a perpetual backsliding. I feel like that's me a lot of the time. I don't feel like I'm getting better. I feel like I have the same struggles that I've had for so long. I feel like the Lord's blessed me to do a little better in some things, but when you think you're doing good, then you fall again, don't you? But regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how many times you've known what the Bible said and disobeyed it anyway, it's still the answer. Notice Josiah's reaction. Now, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he was 26 years old when the book was found. And notice in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 11, this is where we had stopped when we talked about some other things. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Now that expression, rent his clothes, was in that day just an outward making known that I am convicted and I feel condemned, and like Job said, I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. You know, we're trying to teach people to learn to love themselves. Job suffered as no man suffered. He went through the fire like you never will. And the lesson he learned was this: I abhor myself. The answer's not, I'm not the answer. The Lord is. But notice what he says here. It says, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes, verse 13. And notice what he said: go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all which was written concerning us. He wasn't giving respect to his father and grandfather when it came to them violating the word of God. There was no concern given here to the fact that they were his blood relatives, but rather he just says our fathers. And then look at verse 16. As the message of God is then brought about this matter. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Now, if you were Josiah, you began reigning at 8 years old, you're now 22, the word of God has been brought to you, evidently for the first time in your life, and as it's read to you, what you see is the people that you are responsible for leaving are in blatant violation of God's word. But even though the Lord was going to judge this rebellious people, notice verse 19 of 2 Kings 22. And may this be the peace that we find as we try to return to God's word in our lives. The Lord says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Now I want you to see this. Though Josiah was not personally walking in deliberate rebellion against the Lord, he nonetheless heard the word of God for the first time and felt condemnation. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your experience. If you hear the word of God now and you're condemned, that's an evidence of spiritual health. You hear me? If you're convicted over sins, if the word of God condemns you, that means your conscience is working right. That means that he's still working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And notice what he goes on to say, because, and apply this to you and pray that this would be your case, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake. In other words, you read the word of God. It exposed your sin. Your heart was tender toward it. You didn't harden yourself against it. And you humbled yourself. The Lord says, and you wept before me. See, that should be our experience. Conviction in our heart, humbling ourselves and weeping, the Lord then says, I also have heard thee. You remember in Isaiah, when the Lord through Isaiah said, unto this man will I look. And that's the verse I want to keep reading. The Lord says, here's the kind of person that has my attention. Here's the kind of person that the Lord looks to. To him that is of a poor and contrite spirit. Not the self-confident. Not the one that feels like he's got everything right. But watch this. Him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. That doesn't mean you're terrorized by God's word, as someone would be by an abusive father when they saw him reach for his belt because they know he might severely injure them. That's not what it's talking about. To say that you tremble at the word of God is to say, this is the sovereign God of the universe, and this is his instruction to me. Isaiah said when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, when you come into the house of God, be more ready to listen than to speak. The Lord said that you're upon earth and I'm in heaven, let your words be few. In other words, when God's speaking, that's a time to tremble in reverential respect and say, it doesn't matter what I think or feel. It doesn't matter how hard it may seem, it will go well with me to do what the Lord says. Now look at verse 20 of 2 Kings 22. Behold, therefore, the Lord says, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, speaking to Josiah. I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, it had been far better if the word of God had been available. Let's just go back. It had been far better if Manasseh had read and kept the word of God, and that if Amon had read and kept the word of God, so that Josiah had grew up like Timothy, knowing the word of God, so that the people over whom he began reigning at 8 years old were people that already knew the word of God through daddy and granddaddy, and therefore it would be a wonderful environment where they enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. That would have been far better. But it can always start with you. It started with Josiah, an 8-year-old boy. And the Lord said, because you've been so faithful, he says, the wickedness has become so great among this people that my judgment's coming. And if you think the Bible's not up to date, and I am not, before I read this, I'm not condemning or I'm not saying that there's any sin that you can't repent of. And we don't believe in hating sinners. But this was not a church. This was a national people. Not unlike America. And notice what some of the reforms were in 2 Kings 23 verse 3. One of the things he did, he broke down the houses of the Sodomites, which were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Verse 10, and he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. That's where they were at. These lifestyles were open and accepted by the culture. And I'm sure it had been going on a long, long time because God's always long-suffering. But the Lord says to Josiah, Daddy didn't fear me. Granddaddy didn't fear me. Some of their ancestors, the majority of them, didn't fear me. And this has been going on for hundreds of years. And the Lord says, my patience has run out with this people. But the Lord says to this boy that began reigning at 8 years old, you're not going to suffer. The Lord says, I'm going to gather you into your fathers. That means he was going to take him on home to heaven. I'm going to gather you into your fathers. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see. You're not going to experience. You're not even going to know about it. You know, when you get into heaven, you're not going to be know about or be concerned with anything going on down here. And the Lord says to Josiah, I know, I'm adding this, but I'm sure this was part of his thinking. The Lord knew that he would mourn over the wrath and judgment of God being poured out on this people. So the Lord just said, I'm going to take you out of all of it. Now, with all that in mind, I want to look at one other small portion of Scripture. Here's a good place for you to start if you want to go back to the Word of God and find the book of the law of the Lord. Psalm 119 is the longest division of Scripture in the Bible. It contains 176 verses. Every verse makes reference to the Word of God. I like what Elder Michael Goen said. He said, Psalm 119 is what the Bible has to say about the Bible. Every verse refers to the Word of God. And I just want you to notice one section here, beginning with Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, certainly this applies specifically to the young people, but anything in the Bible, even instruction given to ministers, usually applies to all of us in some way. If you read the qualifications for a minister, almost all of those would be appropriate and good for you to implement in your life. So keep that in mind. There's a specific application here, and certainly the ideal place to start is when you're young. But you can start anytime. How can you clean up your life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That is God's word. By looking at your life in comparison to what the Bible says about how you're to be living your life. He then says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. In other words, I have willingly proclaimed what the word of God says about sin. I've declared thy judgments. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now watch this. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Josiah's ancestors forgot it and lost it. Josiah was a victim of all that. But he found it. And as soon as he found it, he started following the Lord. And it doesn't matter that if you're at the age that you would say, well, brother, buddy, I've messed up. I've made so many mistakes. I've messed up so much. And there are even many consequences of my mistakes that I can't correct, that I can't overcome. You know, David, think about this. Why does the Bible say David was a man after God's own heart? I used to wonder about that. Well, you know, David committed adultery. David had a man killed. Why in the world would the Bible say David was a man after God's own heart? Here's the difference. David was a man that felt condemned over his sins. And he cried out to the Lord and listened. He didn't remove the consequences. The Bible says the sword did not depart from his house, but he had forgiveness and he had fellowship with the Lord. There are people in prison that have truly experienced conviction and repentance, but that doesn't remove the consequences of the crime. You know, they can't say, okay, we know you're a serial killer, but we believe you're truly repentant now, so on that basis, you're released. But I've seen people in prison that had committed vile acts that you could tell they weren't faking it. They had truly found peace with the Lord. Now, you're not in a literal prison, are you? Consequences in your life aren't that bad. Yeah, there may be things you struggle with from now on. I have things in my own life that I regret because of the consequences that may always be there. But all I know is I can still have peace with the Lord. There's still people in the church that are willing to listen to me preach. There's still people that love me. I still feel like that I'm on their same level. I'm not below them. So if you've lost the book, you got one in your possession at home. Hopefully you got one with you today. Do like Josiah. Rent your clothes and say, Lord, help me to get back to it. And then vow to the Lord that I will not forget your word.